Only appropriate response for one so worthy is to praise Him. So let us spend our life doing just that. We're going to be in John chapter 11 this morning. If your Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me. John chapter 11. Back in John's Gospel, we finished up the first 10 chapters and took a break for our Advent season, Christmas season, and now jump back in chapter 11. We've seen six of the signs in John, six miracles in John's Gospel demonstrating who Jesus is, affirming His message and His power. And today we'll begin chapter 11. We won't make it through the entire chapter. We're going to look at the first 16 verses, Lord willing. But this introduces the seventh and greatest sign in John. It's a familiar passage. You guys know the story of Lazarus, but I trust that the Lord has something fresh and anew for us as we study it this time. You know, in life, often we have a partial perspective on things. We don't have the full perspective. We've been talking about this a lot in my Sunday school class. We've been going through the book of Job. And in Job, there's a lot of this. The perspective that his friends have is just a partial perspective. There's ignorance. Job's friends think, surely, based off what's going on in his life, surely Job has some unconfessed sin in his life. He needs to confess and be made right with the Lord so that the Lord will relent and stop pouring out these judgments on him. Well, we know from chapters 1 and 2 and throughout the book of Job as the reader that Job was a righteous man in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't because of sin that Job was under such calamity. It was because of a conversation really that took place between Satan and God and the testing that God allowed Job to go through and the testing of his faith. But partial perspective, some people say ignorance is bliss. The more, as we grow up, I guess, we realize that's not quite the case. A lot of times, ignorance can lead to discouragement. It can lead to wrong or faulty assumptions, right? There's ignorance, we just have a partial perspective on things. And what you're seeing, you can say, you know what, that person's mean. Let me give you an example of that. We're at a birthday party, and they go to cut the cake for this child, and they're asking the parents there, is it okay for your children to have cake? I have two children there at the party, my daughter and my son. So they're cutting the cake, and they plate the cake, and the cake looks so good, right? The cake is a nice cake and pretty icing, and cutting big pieces for the kids. Can your children have cake? And I say, you can give a piece to my son. Don't give a piece to my daughter. Now, if you just have partial perspective at that point, David's laughing because you think, that guy's mean. What's wrong with that guy? Who in their right mind, especially of his children, why would he not let his daughter have a piece of that cake, right? Well, it's the motive driving both of those is that I love them. My daughter has an egg allergy. She takes the cake and she eats the cake. It could kill her. And so you say, well, you know, it's still not very good. Well, we always carry Oreos or something like that with us to make sure, right, that we have something to have eggs in. And let's be honest. Let's just take a time out. Let's just be honest. It's hard to beat a good double-stuffed Oreo any day of the week, right? Now, I'm not talking about single stuff. I don't even know why they make those. That's like decaf coffee. I'm gonna get sidetracked here. I need to stay the course, John chapter 11. But anyways, we always make sure that baby girl gets some Oreos or an eggless cupcake or something like that. But you can see what I'm saying if you just have partial perspective. And what we call that a lot, we see that on the news, right? We don't like that when we know that there's only a certain part of the story that's reported and people will take it, strip it of its context and try to make a narrative out of something that's not true. And what do we call that? We said that's fake news. Do we like that? no, no hands are going up. We don't like that. We don't appreciate that. Partial perspective. Now, occasionally in Scripture, what happens is we get to see the behind the scenes. We get to see a fuller picture of what takes place. And some of the reasons why Jesus does what he does in the gospel. And some of the reasons why that God deals with an individual the way that he does. Job is a good example of that. But also in this particular chapter, the death and the resurrection of Lazarus, we're going to see some of the details behind the curtain, if you will. We're going to have John, the author, is going to provide for us a fuller picture of what took place so that we might not be limited in our perspective and in our ignorance, we might not make some unfair assumptions about God, specifically the Son of God, Jesus. So saying that, introducing it that way, if you're willing and able, would you stand with me? And we're going to read the first 16 verses of John chapter 11. And then as we go back through here, I really want to focus in just on a couple of, really two challenges I want to give you guys for 2022. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm excited about this year. And this morning I want to encourage you or challenge you in two specific areas of your life. Let's read the word together first. John chapter 11, beginning of verse 1 says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard this, he said, 'The sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.' Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' And the disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again.' And Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.' This he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep.' Well, the disciples then said to him, 'Well, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover.' Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go so that we may die with him.'" Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word this morning. And I pray again, we just ask that through your word and your spirit, you would work in us, each of us individually and as a church, as you see fit. To the praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. So at the end of John chapter 10, remember that Jesus had just given the parable of the Good Shepherd and had really asserted his deity and claimed the mantle of God, claimed to be the Son of God. And so remember the Jewish leaders there, they would respond in anger. They would call him a liar and a blasphemer. And so they picked up stones to stone him. They were devising a plan at this point in the gospel story to kill him. But sometimes he would push them to the point, literally push them, but the things that Jesus would say would make them so mad that instead of wait to try to come up with some deceitful plan, they just went for the stones immediately and they were going to get it over with. They wanted to kill him. So that's why later, as we're reading through chapter 11 and you hear Jesus say, let's return back to Judea. He just left there. And that's why his disciples say, hey, Jesus, we just left there. Don't forget, they're picking up stones. They want to kill you. I'm not sure that's where we want to go. Chapters 11 and 12 in some ways can provide a transition time, as we're going to see in John's gospel, before the passion really begins with Jesus going back into Jerusalem and ultimately going to the cross. But a familiar story in John chapter 11, and John introduces to us some new characters and a new location. Beginning in verse 1, he introduces to us a certain man, and he tells us something about that particular man. His name was Lazarus. And Lazarus was from the village of Bethany, and Bethany is just east of the Mount of Olives, which is just east of Jerusalem. So just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem, not far. But that's where Jesus had retreated to, in that area. Actually, Jesus was a little bit further away from Bethany, but that's where Lazarus was from. Jesus is going to end up there. But that's where Lazarus is from, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And we haven't been introduced to them much yet in John's gospel, but we know Mary and Martha. You've probably heard stories about Mary and Martha, and they're only going to grow, their characters are only going to grow in the story as we progress forward in John's gospel. But here they are, we're told that they're from the village in Bethany. It's Mary and her sister Martha. And it's the same Mary, even though this hasn't happened yet. Interesting enough, in chapter 12, we're going to be told about Mary anointing Jesus' feet. You remember how she did that? That hasn't happened yet, but by the time John was writing his gospel, it was a familiar story. People had heard about what had happened there in Bethany that day when Mary anointed Jesus' feet. So though we haven't read it yet, John still introduces Mary to us in that way, so that as readers will know who he's talking about. It was the Mary, verse 2, it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. That's the Mary we're talking about, the one who demonstrated her love and her worship and ascribed to him that she believed he was who he said he was. She believed he was the Son of God. And so her response there is one of humility and gratitude and worship with that ointment and wiping his feet with her hair. It's her brother Lazarus who was sick. So there's a situation there. Lazarus is sick. Look in verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus about their brother. A couple things I want to mention here, but first when we finish reading verse 3, it says, saying, here's what they said. They sent word to Jesus, and they said, Lord, behold, the one or he whom you love is sick. That's how the sisters describe Lazarus to Jesus. Lazarus is to the point where they're obviously very concerned. And so what they do is they send word to Jesus. And when they are explaining, as they sent the word, they're explaining Lazarus to him, they say, the one whom you love. Now, the first point I want to make this morning, and really the first challenge that I want to challenge you with or encourage you, kind of spur you along for this particular year. Not just this week, but make it a bigger goal than that. When you go into 2022, again, we talk about all the time making goals for ourselves. And at the beginning of the new year, perhaps you've done that. You've made some physical goals. You're going to work out, or you're going to diet. Maybe you want to lose some weight. That's a common goal. We know that. Perhaps there's other goals that you have that aren't necessarily related to your physical strength or your physical well-being, but other areas, maybe mentally or emotionally. And I hope, spiritually, have you made some goals? Have you done some assessment? We assess our lives and our bodies so frequently. Have you assessed your spiritual condition lately? You thought through areas where you feel like I scripturally speaking, it seems like maybe I'm healthy in these areas, but there are some areas where I know that for those that whom God has set apart for himself, for those who are followers of Christ and disciples, that we demonstrate godliness certain ways. And I know this particular area of my life is just not spiritually healthy. One of those frequently is our communion with the Lord. Let me say it like this. your prayer life. You want to convict a Christian? Talk about prayer, right? Probably none of us here today would raise our hand and say, you know what, I just feel like I have a strong, wonderful, at least as strong as it needs to be. Let me phrase it like this. I don't think there's any room for improvement in my prayer life. Go ahead and raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. But probably none of us would say that, right? When it comes to our prayer life, we probably all would be humble enough and willing to say, there's some room for improvement when it comes to my prayer life. When it comes to sending word to Jesus. And so as we're working through the story, again, sometimes in narrative, you just make some observations of what the characters do or don't do and learn from those things and make some applications to our life. And the first thing I see here that just jumps out and grabs me is that when Lazarus was sick, and again, remember, Lazarus is one whom Jesus loves. Well, I thought if Jesus loved me, then I would live a life of blessing, one of health and wealth and prosperity. Isn't that what you've heard? If Jesus truly loves you, then you'll live a life that has some comforts and some ease in this world. And there's actually people out there that will tell you that. They'll stand behind a pulpit and say, if you want to know if God loves you, look at your life. Do you see health, wealth, and prosperity? And let me tell you this morning, that's not what the Bible says. Blessed is the man whom the Lord loves. But the Bible does not define blessing in that particular way. At least it doesn't limit it to that. Okay? Blessing is a relationship with God and God giving us himself. In this life, we know that even those whom the Lord loves, there's time that we're going to experience sickness. And so Lazarus is sick, and his sisters, what they do is they send word to Christ. They pray. And again, their sending word was different. It's first century. Jesus was actually there in the flesh, and so they could send word to him. For us, that's not the case. I can't send word to Jesus down the street, or I can't drive over to his house. I can't walk over and talk to him about these things. But I can send word to him. And we should be. We should send word. I think of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, when Paul's talking about his desire for the people there in Ephesus, and he says, to him who is able to do far more abundantly, talking about Jesus, he's pointing them in Jesus' direction. He says, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. It's to him we pray. Do we believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do we believe that he's abundantly, able to do far more abundantly than all that you can ask or think, according to the power that's at work within you? It's the resurrection power of God that's made available to us because the Spirit of God dwells within us. We pray. Do you believe that God is able? Mary Martha believed. Lazarus is in bad shape. They're confronted with a situation that was a hard providence. You have hard providences in your life. How do you respond to those situations? How do you respond to the challenges going on in your life? When you go into this year, when you go into 2022, I want to encourage you, not just prayers of that are petitions and supplication prayers, but include those kind of prayers. It's okay to pray and to ask God. It's okay to pray and to send word and say, God, my mom or my dad or my brother or my sister or my son or my daughter, they're sick. It's okay to do that. Do you believe that he's able? Colossians 1:16 says, talking about Christ, the one by whom, for whom, through whom all things were made, and in whom all things hold together. You can pray to him. Let me say that again. The one by whom, for whom, and through whom all things were made. All things, not just some of the things were made. In the beginning there was nothing, and all things were made by him and through him and to him. Romans 11:36 says, for from him and through him and to him were all things. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Matthew 28, in Jesus' own words, he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. It's to him we pray. He who's able to do far more abundantly all that we can ask or even think. A great blessing for the believer, for you, Christian, is prayer. Do you pray? When you're confronted with those situations in life that are just difficult, unforeseen circumstances that you wouldn't have asked for, challenges where your faith is tested, do you pray? Do we believe that Jesus is who he says he is? It really boils down to that. Mary and Martha believed, and so they sent word to Jesus. They believed. Do you believe that he's the sovereign God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords? Do you believe he's great? Do you believe that he's big? Do you believe he's powerful? Do you believe that he's strong? Do you believe, as we've already been told in John's gospel, that he's the bread of life? And that those who eat will be satisfied forever. Do you believe that he's the light of the world? That he brings light into the darkness? In John chapter 9, we saw where, remember, there was the man that was born blind, and he healed the man and gave him sight. He brings light into the world. He is the light of the world. He is the door. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's able. He's able to provide protection for those who are his. He's the good shepherd in John chapter 10. He loves and sacrificially provides for and he protects his flock. Listen, one of the truths that will fuel you or motivate you to pray is believing that God is able. Do you believe? Do you believe that his shoulders are broad enough? Do you believe that he's the all-powerful and all authority in heaven and on earth has been entrusted to him? And he's actively governing everything. He's actively governing right now the entire universe, countries, governments, communities, families, individuals. He's actively governing and overseeing all things right now. I encourage you when you go into this year that 2022 will be the year of prayer for you. Whatever that looks like, maybe you'd say, you know, I do a good job of taking my concerns to the Lord and I do a good job of asking him to help in these areas. I recognize my neediness and my dependence there. Perhaps it's other parts of prayer. Maybe just prayers of adoration. Do you adore the Lord in your prayers? Do you thank him? Prayers of thanksgiving. Do you pray prayers of thanksgiving, demonstrating your gratitude in your prayers? Maybe it's prayers of confession. Do you take time to, as you're communing with the Lord and thanking him and adoring him and bringing your requests to him and your petitions to him, do you take time to confess your sin? Do you believe that he's able to forgive you of your sin? Do you believe that he will forgive you of your sin, regardless of what your sin might be and regardless for how long you've been doing it? These truths, they'll fuel us to live a life of prayer. Let me say it like this. If because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, therefore, pray to him. He delights in hearing your prayers. But also what's driving their prayer, not only that their trust in Jesus' ability, but look what it says in verse 3. It says, when the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. You need to know this. You need to know, Christian, You need to know if you're here today, if you're listening, that Jesus loves you. You need to believe that with your whole heart, that Jesus loves you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I think it is, where Paul, he desires that those there, that the church, that the believers would understand this. He says, you being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. We want to be filled up to all the fullness of God. You want to be fueled and motivated to pray. You need to know that Jesus loves you, that God loves you, that He spared not His own Son, but He gave Him, He sent Him, His Son. And in Romans chapter 8 says it like this, verse 32, He did not spare His own Son, but He gave Him. He delivered Him over for you. He delivered Him over for us all. Who will separate us then from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? We make a mess of it. I understand that. There's times we go out and when it comes to being an ambassador for Christ, when it comes to going out and being a servant for the Lord and being a good, faithful follower and disciple of Jesus, we make a mess of it. The love of God is not conditioned upon your performance. The love of God that's been made available to you in Christ is a result of the performance of the Son of God who lived the perfect life on your behalf. You're fully accepted and fully loved in Christ Jesus, in His perfection that's been given to you. You need to know. Satan often tries to tempt us into believing, to being shame-filled, to hanging our head, to thinking, you know what, I haven't been in church in a long time. Why would I go? People might think something of me, or I've made a mess of this, or I've done this, and we think, I would pray, I would be inclined to pray more, but I want to be honest with you, I'll be transparent, like, I haven't prayed in 6 months. Not only that, I haven't read my Bible in 3 years. God loves you. He loves you. You may be prodigal in every way. You need to know going into 2022 that God loves you. Because that's what will fuel you to commune and to walk in a close relationship with Him. He loves you so much that He's doing whatever needs to be done for you to see and believe and to be satisfied in the love of God that's been made available to you in Jesus Christ. So cast your cares upon Him, right? Isn't that what Scripture tells us? We pray, we cast our cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Finally and quickly, not only do we pray because God is able, because God loves us, but the second thing I want to challenge you with going into 2022, that this will be the year of trust for you. Trust God. Trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You think about Proverbs 3:5, trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's asking so much. That is so difficult. Break it down. Think about it. Trust God. Lean not on your own understanding. Man, we like to lean on our own understanding. We like to think that we can rationalize things and that logically we can work through situations and we can justify our thoughts, and my own understanding is good. And so I want to lean on my own understanding. What Scripture's telling you is that trust Him. and lean not on your own understanding. Let me give you an example of how hard that is. It says that Jesus loved Mary and Martha, and he loved Lazarus. So therefore, when he got the news, as a result of his love for them, and a result of the love that he has for his disciples who are with him, and as a result of those Jews who are there that don't yet believe in him, here's what he does. He takes off, he gets hoarse, and he takes off immediately as fast as he can to Lazarus to heal him so he'll be better the next day. No. Because he loves them, he waits 2 days. That doesn't make sense. There's no way in your understanding you're going to get to that point. There's no way in your understanding you're going to say, because God loves me, because God loves me, or because God loves my loved one that's going through a hard time, he's waiting. That's not what we're told. That's not what we think. We think, if God loved me, if God loved Lazarus, if he loved Mary and Martha, he would do something about it immediately. He would deliver them from this hard situation, this hard providence. But the text says, because he loved them, he waited. Here's why. And we'll talk about this more in the weeks to come. But he says, this sickness is not to end in death, verse 4. But this sickness is for the glory of God, specifically so that the Son of God may be glorified in it. So Jesus is working to that end, that his Father might be glorified, specifically that his Father might be glorified through the Son of God. Not only that, but as we go through this, look down in verse 14. So then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. Again, when you think of loving someone, Your mind is never going to get to the point to where you can logically come up with that. The reason why Jesus allowed Lazarus to die, or Jesus was glad that he wasn't there when Lazarus died. You say, man, if he was glad he wasn't there when Lazarus died, he must not love him, must not care for the guy, must not care for his sisters or his family. That's explicitly not true. And this is why we have to trust the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. His ways are beyond our ways. His wisdom is beyond our wisdom. He's working from a perspective that this side of eternity we'll probably never see. We're looking at things from 10 inches, maybe 10 feet above. He's working from 10,000 foot above, outside of time, from beginning to end, all things together for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his promises. This is an example of that. The curtain's pulled back. We get to see Jesus didn't not go to Lazarus because he didn't care for him. He didn't go because he loved him. And it's through this situation that he's doing great things, not only in Lazarus' life, not only in Mary Martha's life, as we'll see, but also in verse 14, when he finished, or verse 15, let me finish that. It says, I was glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may what? Believe. He is working in our lives in such a way that we could never imagine, so that we might believe. If you go to the end of this chapter, it says that there were many there, Jews that were, verse 45, therefore many of the Jews who had come to Mary and saw what he had done, what happened? They what? They believed. God is working a big plan through Christ, infinite wisdom, infinite goodness. He loves you. He's able. We have to trust him. Two things this year. Take from this. Go into 22. I want to encourage you and challenge you. It's going to be a battle. We're going to need one another. We're going to need to encourage one another, spur one another along. But this year, 2022, let it be the year of prayer in your life.